Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Monday, October 10th. Today, we're talking to Colorado Sun Event and Marketing Director Christina Pritchett about both recent and upcoming events. Before we begin, a quick message. Join the Colorado Sun for an in-person U.S. Senate candidate forum focusing on mental health. Senator Michael Bennett and candidate Joe O'Day will answer questions on October 18th at 10 a.m. Registration is free, but space is limited. Visit coloradosun.com/events for more information. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. Today, we take you back to October 1992, when President George H.W. Bush signed legislation creating the Rocky Mountain Arsenal National Wildlife Refuge in Adams County. He declared, quote, "The very idea of converting the Rocky Mountain Arsenal into a national wildlife refuge would have been inconceivable a few years ago." He noted that, quote, "Our success in doing so demonstrates that when we focus on opportunities rather than problems, we can match the resilience of nature with human ingenuity." World War I demonstrated the horrors of chemical weapons. The fear that enemies might use them in World War II inspired the federal government to produce its own stockpile. In May of 1942, officials selected 28 square miles, farmland confiscated from 200 families for the project, northeast of downtown Denver, as a chemical fabrication site. By the end of the year, the Rocky Mountain Arsenal stood operational. It produced mustard and chlorine gases during the war, and afterward, the federal government leased space companies for experiments. During those years, the arsenal produced many deadly chemicals and endangered its neighbors. But as the Cold War ended, the arsenal found a new purpose: the discovery of nesting bald eagles. Now, although some parts of the refuge will remain forever sealed to contain their toxins, the arsenal offers an urban haven for lovers of eagles, hawks, deer, bison, coyotes, prairie dogs, badgers, and more. Before we continue, the Colorado Sun and CBS News Colorado will host a gubernatorial debate on October 13th at 6 p.m. with Governor Jared Polis and candidate Heidi Ganahl. The debate will air and be available to stream. Visit coloradosun.com/events for more information. Next, our feature story.
Welcome back to the Daily Sun Up Podcast, Colorado. I'm Carol Wood, guiding you through today's conversation, and I'm grateful to be here with you today. Today, we are visiting with Christina Pritchett, the Sun's Event and Marketing Director. Hey, Christina.
Hi, Carol. Thanks so much for having me back.
You bet. Thanks for coming by. Today, I was hoping to talk to you, as we typically do, on some of our events. And we had one last week that I thought we could talk a little bit about. And then I know we have several things planned for the rest of October. And I was hoping you can fill us in on what that schedule is like for the rest of the month for our Colorado Sun events. Tell us a little bit first about last week. Last Thursday, we had a really wonderful event with Jason Blevins.
Yeah, I'd love to. We had a virtual conversation with some ski area bosses, including Rusty Gregory, the former Alterra chief, Mike Kaplan, the CEO of Aspen Skiing Company, and Stephen Kircher of Boyne Resorts, talking with, as you said, Jason Blevins. And they talked about rapid changes in the resort industry, lessons they've all learned over the last few seasons, some challenges surrounding climate, housing, labor, and a lot more.
Yes, it was it was only an hour-long discussion. I feel like it could have gone on for three or four. Mm-hmm. And even the ski area bosses, as we titled the event, even those guests said that they could have talked for a lot longer with Jason on some of the things that are affecting the ski areas in Colorado and the mountain communities. And I think that one of the things we all came away with is that this may be a regular thing that Jason does every few months, perhaps, or twice a year with executives in the ski industry and takes a look at what the trends are and how the ski industry in Colorado is evolving right now.
Yeah, it definitely could be a regular thing. And they all have known each other for many years. And so it was just a really great conversation that they all had. And you could tell they were enjoying themselves, which always makes for a really great event.
Indeed.
So I actually have a couple snippets from the event that I would love to share with everyone. And the first one is of Jason asking Mike Kaplan about climate and how it could impact future ski seasons.
Yes, let's give that clip a listen.
And Mr. Kaplan, you heard your friend Steven say that snow drives it. You've been telling us now for going on 20 years that it's not always going to be driving it. And you're on the tip of this spear telling us this industry needs to adapt and make some changes and prepare for what's coming in terms of a warming climate and, you know, losing snow and worse impacts. You know, it's always kind of weird to talk about how that might impact skiing. You know, it's going to impact crops and water and, you know, decimate societies and communities, and implications are a lot worse than our good times on snow. But what are some lessons that you've gleaned over the years looking at your weather numbers for the past 30 years in the Roaring Fork Valley?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we've seen 30 fewer days where it freezes at some point in that 24-hour cycle than we had when we opened, for example. And look, that's a big deal. That's a shorter winter. And of course, it's not like it just the abrupt ending day changed, that you're seeing more and more of those frost-free days and nights creep into our regular season. So, you know, it's done a couple things. One, it's really brought the reality of these climate models and climate change home and really front and center. And we've seen it, obviously, in other ways in our mountain communities. I'd argue everybody's seen it some way, no matter where they live now. And it's really, I think, spurred some action. And you're right. Of course, skiing is going to be the least of our worries if we don't get our heads around decarbonizing our economy. But we think, look, it's something people care about and something that we can talk about right now. And we think we're a bit of a canary in the coal mine. And so it is our obligation to talk about it and do something about it. Operationally, it's been something we've been, I think, all adapting to pretty well, surprisingly well. Great improvements in snowmaking, really managing every inch of snow with boot packing and getting out there and cat tracking sooner, and really trying to make sure that snow surface is pinned down and maintained. We've done, you know, more snow fencing and those things, you know, Rusty's point about wind, just really managing the snow and being creative and aggressive and managing every inch that we possibly can. And then the other side of it is we've got to be a model for change and how we continue to do business and do, you know, offer great customer service and offer a great experience and be a great employer and tackle climate. And how do you do that? Yeah, you gotta, you know, adopt all the efficiency measures that are out there. You gotta push hard. You've gotta, you know, get more renewable energy on the grid, and you've gotta advocate, because at the end of the day, no matter how good a job we do in our individual resorts or as an industry, until we tackle this climate problem and greenhouse gas emissions nationally and lead at a national level so that we get there globally, we're not going to win. We're not going to win this fight. We're all in it together. So the final thing is be willing to stand up and advocate, because that is the point. Just doing it yourself and patting yourself on the back isn't going to get you there. You got to push your customers. You got to push your vendors, your partners, your elected officials to act on climate. And that's been the big push and really our approach.
And the second snippet I have is Jason asking Stephen Kircher about the labor struggles in our mountain communities.
Right. I remember that conversation. Let's give that a listen also.
One of the things that we've seen is kind of some labor struggles. I was hoping for you guys to riff on who's doing labor right now. We're heading into a new season, and we're hearing early signs are it's back. You know, it's not as bad as it was maybe last year. And maybe we've got this, you know, pandemic stuff behind us. What are you guys seeing in terms of working with your communities and getting folks getting ramped up? Mike, you got 2,000 plus to go. You know, these small towns bringing in a lot of people from J1s and different folks. What's working best? What's the best strategy right now to maybe not have some of these labor issues that we saw last season that were really stressing communities, stressing the resort operators, obviously. And one was big in the news, but I know that everybody in the whole industry was having very similar issues. And I think, you know, trying to hopefully not see that happen again this season?
Well, a paradigm shift from last year and the year before. Awesome. It's 1.5 to 3 times the number of applications coming in from a year ago. So an incredible shift from where we were a year ago. And obviously there's, I think, a lot of people coming back into the workforce. In some of our markets, there's folks that were, 50 to 70 years old that were just not working in the COVID environment. They're coming back in droves. So we're seeing a large group of, boomers, I guess, if you will, workforce coming back. So just, not everywhere is the same. And certainly where labor was reliant on housing, those areas are the more challenging to come back. But we and the communities have been investing a lot or pivoting a lot. We've turned hotels into dorms in the last 12 months or bought hotels. So there's a lot going on. The block and the tackling between us and the communities is happening. But I think the labor market is freeing up significantly for the mountain communities at large. That's what I'm hearing across our network, and I'm hearing it from others. Yeah. So I feel pretty good about getting back to almost a normal, I would say. We know all of us have raised our entry level rates by 50 to 70% from pre-COVID. So the cost of labor has gone up significantly in the last 2 years, which is helping us attract more qualified people. But it's also people coming back to the labor force that are of the mindset to work in this environment, I believe.
Thanks, Christina, for sharing those with us. And I hope that our listeners here to the podcast might have an opportunity to go to our YouTube page, the Colorado Sun's YouTube page, or to our website where they can go to coloradosun.com/events and click through to listen to that event if they want to spend an hour listening to that discussion about the ski area bosses. I think that it would be time well spent.
For sure. Yeah. All of our events are recorded and available for anyone to go back and watch. But it was really interesting, even if you aren't a skier or snowboarder, I think learning about what's happening in our mountain towns is really important for our communities.
It impacts all of us and the Colorado economy, for sure. What else do we have coming up? I think I referenced earlier that we have a lot of things planned for October. Can you walk us through some of that?
Yes, we have a lot going on in the next couple of weeks as Election Day quickly approaches, and our politics team is very busy. We have our first debate on October 11th, tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the University of Denver. The Colorado Sun, CBS4, and the Center on American Politics will be hosting the Colorado Treasurer candidates and the Colorado Secretary of State candidates. And our very own Jesse Paul and Sandra Fish will be two of the moderators on that.
Great. And I think a lot of us will be there. And as you said, there's an in-person option or a virtual option. And what are the requirements for the in-person?
So registration is free for both options, and that can be found on thecoloradosun.com/events. Registration is closing at noon tomorrow, Tuesday, October 11th. So please register as quickly as you can.
Great. Thank you.
Of course.
What else do we have?
On October 13th, which this Thursday, the Colorado Sun politics team will be joining CBS to host a gubernatorial debate. So that'll be really exciting to hear from Governor Polis and his opponent, Heidi Ganahl, on a lot of important topics.
Good. So the politicians have a busy week. Our politics team has a busy week, and you do in your role as event and marketing director at the Sun. So it sounds like we have a lot going on this week. And then I think we have one more political event later this month, right?
Yes, that's correct. On October 18th, the Colorado Sun is working with a handful of organizations and media outlets hosting a U.S. Senate candidate forum focusing on mental health. And this is a really unique debate that I don't think a lot of people are focusing on. This is a really unique debate, which will include incumbent U.S. Senator Michael Bennett and his challenger, Joe O'Day. And this will be streaming on CBS on October 20th at 6 p.m. But you can join us live. It'll be at the University of Colorado Anschutz Medical Campus, and that is October 18th at 10 a.m. And registration is required. Again, that's at coloradosun.com/events.
Well, great, Christina. Tell us one more time, how can folks register for these things?
Yeah, I'd love to. coloradosun.com/events. And we also have an email that is solely for events where you can sign up using that same link. There will be a button for people to sign up and get it right in their inbox.
And so that's a new event email that you've created that goes out on the regular to folks, just kind of curating all of the events that we've got coming up and allowing them to sign up for everything all at once, correct?
That's correct. We're trying to give people a little bit of a heads up on planning and events and just having another opportunity to get information out to our audience.
Great. Sounds good. And if anyone out in the audience has questions or thoughts about the Daily Sun Up podcast, you can drop us an email also at podcast@coloradosun.com. Thanks to Christina and everyone who helped produce today's podcast, including our production partners at Pirate Audio. Have a wonderful day out there, and I hope you can join us for the next Daily Sun Up.
You can read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. A major transformation is going on in downtown Canyon City, and the catalyst to the redevelopment is funding through the EPA. The federal agency has millions of dollars earmarked to help communities clean up contaminated areas and work on plans to make the land clear to sell. While most of the federal grants find their way to urban locations, the EPA has in recent years focused on rural areas. Canyon City is one of a number of Colorado towns to use the money to kickstart cleanup properties that could attract development. Veteran homelessness is down 31% in Denver, but people of color and single adults are still way overrepresented in local homelessness. According to new data, 1 in 3 people were homeless for the first time in 2022. An overwhelming majority of people surveyed were single adults 25 and older. However, while Native Americans comprise only 1.4% of the Metro Denver population, they make up 6.3% of the region's homeless population. Black people are 6% of the Denver population, but make up more than 20% of the homeless. Before ballots are mailed out later this week, the Colorado Sun is publishing voter information on each of the ballot initiatives. One of those is an amendment to the state constitution to extend the homestead property tax break to Gold Star spouses. Currently, the exemption goes to Coloradans 65 and older who have lived in their house for at least 10 years, as well as to veterans with permanent disabilities. The amendment would add Gold Star spouses, who would save up to $630 annually on property taxes. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again on Monday. Now, a quick message from our editor.
I'm Larry Rickman, editor and co-founder of the Colorado Sun. The Sun is a public benefit corporation, and we rely on the support of listeners and readers like you to produce the nonpartisan, in-depth news that Colorado needs and deserves. Please consider becoming a Sun member for just $5 a month. Learn more at coloradosun.com. Thanks.